Jason Smith, the
Jason
hero
Smith,
you
the
never
hero
knew,
you
you
never
never
knew,
knew,
you
you
never
never
knew,
knew,
you
you
never
never
knew,
knew,
you never knew,
you
never
knew,
you
never knew.
Oh, how'd you like that?
You know what? It was the first Ultimate Alliance game that I ended up playing through the entire game. I just felt like the story was a little bit more interesting.
That's including like X-Men Legends and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, I never played through any of those, and you know, like on previous titles, I'd probably get like, I don't know, like 4 hours into the game, and I never felt like I was actually a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way I think they changed the way the special abilities work in this new one, because they work off of stamina, not energy, and the stamina regenerates fairly quickly. So in previous games, I always kind of found myself like just mashing on the regular attack buttons, and you didn't feel like a superhero at that point. It's like, it's hard to imagine you're Wolverine when you're just punching some guy instead of like, you know, lunging forward with claws out,
ripping them apart.
Right, and you're still not ripping them apart in this game, but at least you're, you know, the way the stamina, you know, regenerates, you're able to use your abilities a lot more than in previous games. So you actually feel like you're like, okay, now I feel like I'm a badass superhero.
Right.
And the fusion abilities are nice too, because they've got some really cool stuff. I found myself returning to form and basically playing Deadpool, because he just has the best combination of ranged attacks as well as, you know, damaging melee.
Right.
And you know, some of the fusion abilities, like I unlocked the Hulk because I got him from GameStop. Or
oh,
no,
okay.
Best Buy. I got it for Best Buy.
Right. And what was Buy, I know
GameStop
Best Buy was
Juggernaut.
Hulk. Juggernaut, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, were these characters unlockable later in the game, or were they just exclusive and then eventually they'll be paid DLC? Do you know?
Yeah. Hulk would have been unlockable in the game. You had to find fragments or something to unlock him. I don't know about the Juggernaut. It was kind of funny. On PSN, the Juggernaut character was downloadable. It was a piece of DLC the week prior to Ultimate Alliance 2 getting released.
Oh.
And it was like $3 to download the character.
Mm-hmm.
However, once the game got released, that went away.
Huh, that's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so and in fact, the week that it got released, there is a, you can download an add-on, which is free, thank God, Activision, which allows you to play online with somebody who has the Juggernaut character.
Oh, cool. So like, so the games will be compatible.
Right. Yeah, I was like there was a small tinge when I saw that there was an add-on available so you can play. I was like, God, I hope they're not charging me for this.
Right.
You know, that would be just like, you know, Activision fully embracing the EA of old and just like, we're going to, you know, charge you for every fucking thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing with the story is that it doesn't, I never read the Civil War storyline in Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of out of the comic scene by that time. And even though I heard great things about it, I just didn't, you know, really have the funds to go buy like a year's worth of comics.
Right.
So the storyline for the game is very truncated, and it doesn't have a lot of the emotional impact and that the comics have, but you know, it's a really interesting story, and it served to make me want to see where it was going and like play it through to the end. And you know, I was like about 9 hours, I think, my first playthrough on just like the heroic difficulty. So
oh wow, you beat it in 9 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's not too terribly long.
Yeah, it's not too terribly long. You get in, you have some good times. You know, you power up your characters and. You know, you're done. The only like really drawbacks I saw to the game was that the character models and the cutscenes, they're horrible. I mean, just horrendous.
Really? In the cutscenes?
Yeah, well, they have like they have in-game cutscenes, and then they have actually like the
super
kind of script
polished.
Yeah, the super polished. The super polished, they look fine, but the in-game cutscenes, the character models, like,
okay, because it uses like the actual game character models, right?
Yeah, and they look like cheap, like plastic action figures,
right?
And
it's bad when games do that if they don't really have a lot of smooth animation down, because it becomes very obvious that those character models weren't designed to be in cutscenes where they're interacting with each other, when they're not beating the shit out of each other.
And you played games in the previous series, right?
Yeah. Like, I've played all the X-Men Legends game, and then I played the first Marvel Alliance.
So, you know when they have, like, the dialogue options between characters?
Yes.
Like, that's when the character models, like, really look their worst. And there's no recorded dialogue for those scenes.
Oh, really? So it's just text boxes pop up?
Yeah, it's just text boxes, and there's a couple of, like, you know, canned recorded dialogue that the person you're talking to says, but your character himself doesn't say anything. And so it's really just kind of awkward. You're just kind of standing there, like, staring off into space, and everybody behind you is just, like, staring, you know, and you're just, it would have been nice to have, you know, actual recorded lines of dialogue. So when you choose an option, you actually hear, you know, the character saying, especially somebody like Deadpool, who's basically, you know, he's the merc with a mouth.
Right.
They have him stand there and say absolutely nothing. It's just, it's like, okay, whatever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can understand that. They kind of need to overhaul that whole system. Maybe rebrand it. Don't even call it Ultimate Alliance. Just have some new brand. I mean, same thing, same Marvel heroes, but some just new format, because it seems to all be following. I mean, I haven't played this one yet, but it looks to be pretty similar to the others. It follows the same, where you have your central hub, and then you're sent out to an environment, and you play through that environment, and then you're sent back to your central hub. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the series now that Marvel's owned by Disney, to see if Disney's going to, you know, keep... let Activision keep making those games, or if they're going to, you know, try moving it in a different direction.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think? You think we'll see Marvel characters in the next Kingdom Hearts game?
I don't think we're going to see it in the next Kingdom Hearts game.
Well, right, because it's probably already pretty far along, but...
Yeah. And not only that, I don't see a way to put Marvel characters into that universe. It seems odd to say, because, like, I didn't think Final Fantasy characters would go into that universe either.
Right.
Like, the way that they've integrated them, I feel like they, now that they belong there, but maybe there's a handful of characters that they could bring over, but
yeah, not everyone. I mean, it needs to be small. Like, I mean, can you even just imagine playing as, what's the kid's name, Sora, and then like Mickey Mouse and Gambit, and you're taking down a Sentinel or something? I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic. But it's interesting to see. It's gonna be interesting to see where, you know, that partnership goes, and right, and what comes out of that game wise, because I just think that, you know, Disney definitely has some, distinct ideas of what they want to do with that property, and, you know, I'm not sure if Activision then is, you know, where they want to see that franchise going. So
right,
it's gonna be interesting to see. So played that, but the review is still not up yet. But I definitely, you know, would recommend that you, like, rent it, or, you know, check it out, because it's...
Yeah, a friend of mine and I were talking about just renting it, because I figured it was pretty short, and hearing that it's like 9 hours is pretty good. Like, I could just do a 5-day rental, and we could probably beat it in that week. I, this is this generation, feel the vibration, not on a radio station, this is a self-salvation, to any congregation. I use origination. This is a valuation of sin.
played some Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh yeah, I saw your review for that.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's like Left 4 Dead, but in a fun, but fun. I hate Left 4 Dead.
What?
That's right, Gaming World. Hello, I hate Halo and I hate Left 4 Dead, and we're gonna get back to Halo in a second because I hate Halo 3 ODST.
Really? I've heard a lot of positive things about
it. It's fucking garbage.
Really? Did you review it for CFT?
I'm supposed to review it, but I'm gonna talk to Rob about that because we'll get back to that in a second.
Okay.
But Zombie Apocalypse is got so much of the feel of Left 4 Dead that it might as well have been made by Valve. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that can't be because Valve doesn't make fun games.
What? How can you say that? Did you play? What about Portal? Any of these games?
Okay, Portal was good, but wasn't Portal not made by Valve? Portal was made by like some students from a school in Seattle.
I think the original concept, was made by a different group, but then Valve.
Valve doesn't make good games, so we've got that laid out then.
Okay.
I'm not going to be happy until I have every segment of the gaming community pissed at me.
Apparently, well, you're well on your way.
Yes. No, I mean, that's not entirely true. I mean, that's not true. I do not personally like the games that Valve makes. I don't like Left 4 Dead. I'm not a huge fan of Half-Life 2. Team Fortress 2 is okay. It's fun. But I think it has like a steep learning curve. And it's, you know, once you kind of get behind that, it's just kind of like, you know, just getting your ass shot off every 5 seconds isn't all that much fun.
Right.
You know, but Portal's good. And
I'm surprised that you don't like Half-Life 2. What's your issue with Half-Life 2?
I think my
did
issue
play,
with Half-Life 2...
Did you play the episodes?
No, I think my issue with Half-Life 2 is that, I played through a good portion of it, and I appreciate that they like to do a lot of storytelling in their games, but I think a lot of the times that story comes at the cost of some gameplay, because I don't really find the actual playing of the game all that enjoyable. Like, mm-hmm. The story I find fascinating, but the gameplay itself I don't find enjoyable. Just the way that they structured the levels and some of the limitations that I felt like was put upon you for sake of story, you know, as far as like weapon choices, and I just didn't. And then, like, the vehicle levels, the one part that I really turned me off the game, I think, was the boat. I was on some type of a fucking boat.
Right, yeah, that's pretty early on. You get on the, it's like a hover. Or like a,
it's like a boat. Yeah, it's like one of those, like, Florida, you know, swamp.
Right, yeah, you'd see, like, down in the bayou, it has the big fan on the back.
Yeah, I just didn't really like the way that was executed, and I didn't find it fun, and I just found it like aggravating. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm like really snapped to judge, you know, things. If I hit a segment of the game that I just feel is like completely aggravating or, you know, irritating, I usually will just, I'll give it, you know, a pretty good attempt. But then after a while, I'm just like, you know what? I don't play games to get aggravated, and fuck this.
Real quick, did you play on PC or did you play on like 360?
Played on 360.
Okay. I would imagine that's part of your frustration controlling that boat then.
Yeah, I also think that possibly I have this kind of theory that, you know, we embrace the platform of the, you know, if you grew up on playing PC games and you embrace PC gaming. If your first exposure to games was on a console, then you're more prone to go towards console. And I did not get into PC gaming until way later.
Like, right.
And the only games that I've been able to stomach playing on the PC for any length of time are MMOs, like, you know, Lord of the Rings or World of Warcraft. I don't do very well on first person shooters. On PC, and my other issues with PC are just that my PC tends to end up, like, even though like the computer I got is like a year and a half, 2 years old, it just seems that, you know, I'm constantly at a loss. Like, I'm constantly having to, like, you know, like, look at games and go, oh, I wish I could play that, but, you know, not sure if it's going to work on my machine.
Right.
You know, I don't want to, like, that's just something that as a console gamer, I've come to expect that if I walk into a store and I pick up a game for a PS3, I'm going to be able to put it in my PS3, or if I'm going to be able to put it in my 360, and I'm going to be able to play it immediately. Whereas in PC gaming, like, people who have been PC gamers understand that, you know, you go pick up a game, you take it home, you may have to update your drivers, you may have to do an install, there may be a patch to download. They've come to accept this, and they expect it, and they're fine with it. Whereas as a console gamer, when I pick up a game for the PC and I come home and it's like, oh fuck, okay, why isn't this working? And then you know look at a FAQ and read shit and you're like, oh wait, my OS isn't compatible with this game. Fuck. All right, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just like that's for me, like, you know, for people trying to get into PC gaming, I think it's a huge barrier of entry. And Valve is, you know, basically a PC centric company. They make games for the PC, and, you know, like,
right. But I think to their credit, they have worked really hard to streamline that whole. I mean, everything you're talking about. I mean, they have a lot of, you know. I mean, even just with Steam, I mean, having demos available, having a sort of one stop shop where you can, you know, purchase these games and keep them together and stuff. And particularly with their, I can't think of the engine's name right now, but that they use for. You know, for Half-Life 2 and Left 4 Dead and everything. I mean, it's very versatile. I mean, they sort of borrow from Blizzard and WoW, where you just have good, you know, just incredible art direction, and that way, regardless of specs, people will be able to enjoy your game. Of course, they have a better system. They can turn these things up and have it look better, but at least it looks interesting and appealing at its core.
I think you're right about that with Team Fortress 2. I don't think that Left 4 Dead is particularly visually appealing. It doesn't strike me as being like an interesting game to look at.
Maybe not to look at, but there's just so much going on that it's easy to sort of telegraph to the player, you know, what's happening. I mean, whether that's just outlining good things and, you know, in blue and highlighting players in red when they're in danger and just things like that. I mean, it just does a lot to help you, you know, regardless of your computer's ability, you know, graphical fidelity.
Yeah. Well, you know, and to be fair, my perspective of Left 4 Dead is strictly from a single player perspective, because I never played Left 4 Dead multiplayer.
Well, right. And you played on 360, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's.
although I've been hearing, I hear lots of people say that you know, Left 4 Dead on the 360 is good in multiplayer, but I just, my friends list on the Xbox 360 is fucking anorexic.
Right. We should play sometime. I still have it for 360. I'd be okay with pulling that out and playing that sometime. Or isn't Left 4 Dead is it on sale this week? Or has the sale ended? I know it was just recently on sale. I don't remember, for on Steam.
It might be. Maybe I can get one of the codes from CFD. Oh wait, no, I write for them.
Yeah, I know, that's always a bummer.
Yeah. I would be willing to check it out again. I'm just saying that, like, myself, I just, you know, up until this point, I mean, I don't have the kind of like love and devotion that a lot of people have for Valve.
Right.
And so when Zombie Apocalypse came out, even though it borrows heavily from the feel of Left 4 Dead, I mean, you've got, you know, the black survivor, the girl survivor, you know, the kind of, you know, security, the gruff looking survivor, and you kind of got the nerd survivor and stuff like that. And the artwork is very similar to the, you know, the artwork from Left 4 Dead as far as the characters. When you're playing the game, there's like a little box that shows which character you are and your score, and it just looks like a piece of art that came out of like instruction manual or a box for Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a twin stick shooter. It's great. You just, you know, you hop in and you're playing really quickly. You're rescuing survivors. you're using zombie bait, and zombie bait is the best thing in the game because it's this. It reminds me of like of Teddy Ruxpin, but stuffed with C4.
Okay.
Because it's a teddy bear that you throw, and it immediately starts talking, and all the zombies start going after it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just explodes, and there's just a huge pile of zombie parts. But it, you know, it's the more zombies you kill, the higher your chain, the higher the score. So there's that, you know, want to be on top of the leaderboard, you know, mentality for the game. And multiplayer, I found a couple really easy matches to hop into. And the only thing that was kind of maybe a downer about that is that didn't seem to be a cooperative play. I mean, you all wanted to survive, but there was competition to, you know, rescue the survivors. And so one of the things I would have liked to seen was maybe a more cooperative mode of play where you actually had to, you know, work to, like, everybody had to work to help save the survivor. Because, you know, you have these huge mob of zombies coming at you, and sometimes you're just like, all right, well, that guy's going to get the survivor points if I let him save that guy, so I'm just going to go over here and not do anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all kinds of crazy stuff you can do. You can shoot a zombie into a wood chipper.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can shoot a zombie into a jet engine. There's a car crusher, and if you do this stuff, you get bonus points for environmental kills. So there's a lot of fun to be had of just kind of luring zombies into the right spot and then just blowing a whole line of them into a wood chipper, just watching the blood spew at the other end.
Now, I know you said it's sort of, it controls a twin stick shooter. Is it sort of in the vein of Geometry Wars where really there is no ending? You just keep going until eventually you are swarmed, or is there an actual ending to the game?
Well, there are 55 levels, and each level represents a day. But I've not made it to the end.
Okay, but it is possible to.
Yeah, I believe it's possible to. I don't know what happens at the end of 55. I don't know if you start over something else, but
yeah, a harder mode or something.
Yeah, I know that there's other modes to unlock. There's a chainsaw mode. If you clear level using nothing but the chainsaw, you unlock chainsaw mode. I guess if you get 100 zombie kills, or if you get 100 multiplier, you get turbo mode where all the zombies run faster.
Oh, okay.
There's nightmare mode, I think, which is the level's completely dark except for the area immediately surrounding your character.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so there's lots of stuff to unlock, and there's lots of weapons to use. One of my favorite is a sniper rifle because it will basically kill anything in a line. So if you have a large line of zombies, one shot will just knock out 15 to 20 zombies.
Oh, it'll just rip through everybody.
Yeah. So that's fun, and it's only $10, and it's great because if you want to sit there and get a high score, you can do that. If you only have a couple minutes before you're waiting to go out or something like that, you play for a couple minutes and you got that fix. You know how a lot of people say Geometry Wars was that game on the 360 that people would play when they're trying to decide what to play next?
Right, you just throw it on for a couple minutes while you're just relaxing.
Yeah, I think Zombie Apocalypse has the potential to be that on the PSN, more so than you know, the other games on there. I mean, although Shatter is kind of is up there too, and I guess Flower, but you know, it's just another one of those games where it just has, you know, the draw to just be something you go back to time and time again. For the PSP, and I just
how was it on the PSP?
It was passable. It was the levels themselves. If you stop the car and look at the level, it's horrendous. I mean, it's just the graphics are horrible.
Yeah, see, I did the Wii version for review, and it was god awful. And then I was reading online at different places, and a lot of people are either suspecting or just downright saying that the Wii version is just, you know, an upscale version of the PS or PSP version.
Right.
Because yeah, same thing. If you stop like the trees in the environment, they look like from like Mario Kart 64, where it's like flat sprites and they just like kind of rotate as you go around them. Like they're very simple. And then the people, like the audience, was just terrible. It was just flat sprites that had two movements basically, where their arms were just down and then their arms were up, you know, as if they were celebrating, and they were flat. I mean, if you stopped the car and looked around them, I mean, they were flat. It was horrible.
Right. Yeah, I think that because it was on, I was playing it on the handheld, I think I was a little bit more like understanding and forgiving of that stuff, you know. And when the game was in motion, like the car felt, with a couple of exceptions, I felt that the car, the physics of the car were like a little floaty. Like if I hit a bump or a jump, it just seemed like the car hung in the air just a little too long.
Right. In fact, I felt best when driving the bigger cars, like the Hummers and stuff, because they felt a little more bolted to the ground. But yeah, when I was in like the little, like, you know, buggies or like little
the
cars.
The trophy trucks were the worst.
Right.
Because like when you see a trophy truck like racing in real life anyway, they kind of do have that kind of bouncy, floaty type of mechanic. But when it's exaggerated even the tiniest bit, then it just becomes like a nightmare.
Right.
Yeah, but... no, I mean I found it to be a, you know, if you're into rally racing or if you're into that scene and you really feel like you need to have a handheld racer, you know, I mean, like, granted, my first choice for handheld racing on the PSP is probably either Ridge Racer or, you know, Wipeout.
Right.
But, you know, if you're really into that, you know, off-road scene and you want to have it on the go on the PSP, then, like, yeah, I would say go ahead and, you know, take a look at it and see if it, you know, matches up with you. But, yeah, it's not a game that I'm going to tell people, like, oh, you need to go get Dirt 2 for the PSP. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen the PSP version to see how much alike it was to the Wii version. But, yeah, the Wii version was just bad. I mean... I mean, the Wii's not a graphical powerhouse, but it could do better than what this game was offering. And that was the sad thing, too. There would still be frame rate stuttering and things like that. And just the physics were ridiculous. And nothing was destructible in the environment. I mean, you could hit a little boulder, you could hit a tree, you could hit the railing, and nothing would move. I mean, it would just crash your car.
Yeah, that was probably
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you veered even a little off course, like if you went a little off the track, it just automatically warped you back onto the track. I don't know if the PSP version did that, but this version, I mean, if you went off the track at all, it warped you back onto the track.
Did the opponent racers do that too? Because that was one of the things that, like, kind of, like, frustrated me about the PSP version was that I wouldn't go off the track. I would have like a great line, like nobody would be in my way, and I'd be like making a corner just right. And then all of a sudden, like one of my opponents would go off the track, and then all of a sudden they'd just be instantly teleported in front of
me. Yeah, that would happen.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it was horrendous. And I think they only had one like damage model for each car. So if you fell off the track or hit a, you know, something that real big like a rock or a tree, your car would then just be damaged, but it would just be damaged everywhere. I think it was just a model swap, you know. It wasn't like realistic dynamic damage or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was really bad. If anyone's thinking about picking that game up just for Wii, don't even bother. I don't know, did you ever play Excite Truck for Wii?
Yeah, I did.
I love Excite Truck, and I would say if you want an off-roading game, you're better off getting that versus Dirt 2, which is sad because that was a launch title, and it looks better and plays better than this game, like, 3 years later. But
you know what the problem is with that is, like, I understand that there's a desire for these companies to make as much money as they can off of a product, but at some point I really wish that they could just say, like, you know what? Maybe our target demographic's not on this console.
Right. Yeah, and I think it just hurts the IP overall. I mean, if someone just had a Wii and they pick that game up, and then say now with the 360 and the PS3 price dropping, maybe they get one for Christmas or a birthday or something, and then they see Dirt 2 or maybe even Dirt 3 somewhere down the line. I think it's gonna hurt. I don't see them wanting to pick the game up after having such a bad experience. I know I wouldn't.
Yeah, I won't pick it up on any of their consoles. But then again, that's because I'm thinking about picking up another racing game on the PS3, which is Need for Speed Shift.
Oh yeah,
heard
some positive stuff about that one.
Yeah, check out the demo for that. That's a fantastic demo.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to look into that.
But yeah, so Dirt 2, Twin Alliance 2, Zombie Apocalypse.
Why don't you tell us about ODST? Let's get you some more internet hatred. I think that's going to be the theme of this episode.
If anybody in the world, I don't care what their credentials, I don't care if it's, you know, Dan Hsu, Garnet Lee, any of these other like gaming Illuminati, try to tell you that Halo 3 ODST is a good game with a compelling campaign, they are fucking full of shit.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that game is... I was so excited about that game prior to picking it up because it was finally a game that did not center around Master Chief, which I thought was a step in the right direction because Master Chief is a horrible character with no dialogue, no emotion, and no personality to speak of.
Right.
And I was like, okay, they're shifting to humans. It's these shock troopers. They, you know, they work as a squad. You know, they train as a squad. It's just something that's completely different. Then, you know, Nathan Fillion was attached to it. You know, I was kind of excited, you know, to see where they're taking this new dynamic. I hope that there'd be, like, a lot more dialogue. And, you know, I hope that the game would play a bit differently because now you're not kind of like this, you know, walking tank of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear Bungie only knows how to make games as if you're Master Chief. Because you move in the exact same fashion as Master Chief. You're slow. You have like these huge floaty jumps. You have all the same abilities as Master Chief and nothing's different. I don't, and your character doesn't talk. Like most of the game, like the game switches between the different perspectives of the different unit members of the unit because they got separated in a drop.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little, some of the characters initially have like a little bit of dialogue, you know, when they're trying to raise radio contact or they're being given directions or something like that. But like you don't really get a feel for the personality of any of the unit, of any of the members of the unit. I might as well, like when I switch between members, like outside of having different weapons at my disposal, like nothing feels different about them. Like there's, you know, I could be playing the same, you know, nameless rookie, which you end up playing half the game anyway.
So no one has any, like, special abilities or characteristics or anything that make them different. I mean, you don't go from, like, the guy who's good at welding, you know, to, I don't know, a guy who's good at scouting and gathering intel or something like that.
Yeah, it would have been nice if there had been, like, you know, because one of the characters, obviously, is, you know, he starts off with a sniper rifle, so you would imagine that he was... You know, maybe he would be a little bit more stealth oriented, you know, finding a spot, picking off the enemies, and so on and so forth. And then you've got another one that starts off with the Spartan laser. I had this expectation that these characters would come with a different set of mechanics and that the levels could be tackled in a manner that was appropriate to those abilities. But it just breaks down to, you know, the same fight that you were with Master Chief. You know, you commandeer a vehicle, you charge in, you know, it's the same mechanic. Even though you don't have a shield, you're still, you know, charging the enemy, you know, lowering their health with shots and then, like, you know, hitting them with a melee attack when you get close to finish them off.
Right.
You know, and the one thing that makes it, and it's more annoying because you, since you do have health, you have to find health packs, and the health packs kind of, like, they have these stations that are in, like, the different areas of the city. And a lot of the times, like, I would spend, like, half of my time, like, wandering around a level looking for the station because it looks, it's, like, nondescript in any, you know, you could probably walk right by it and not notice it initially.
Mm-hmm. And, do you like the health system? I mean, I find it interesting that they went to that. I know why they did, because you're not a Spartan or whatever, you're not Master Chief, but so many games have ripped off the rechargeable health system that Halo, if not invented, at least popularized. So, I mean, do you find it, is it weird to go back to needing to find health packs? Does it feel archaic? Does it feel okay? I mean, apart from them being in, you know, in poor locations and hard to find.
So much of what they've done with this game, so much of what they've done still feels like you're playing as Master Chief. I don't know why they made this choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, everything else about it is just, you know, complete, like, the way the troopers control, the way they move, it's like the slow prodding movement. There's not, I don't even think that there's like a charge, like a rush button or anything like that. So, you know, you couldn't, you know, get to, you know, cover easily. It just feels, it just feels like an odd decision to keep everything else the same. And then like, okay, now you have to worry about health packs because you're not Master Chief.
Right.
So, you know what, though? The thing is, like, if you're a Halo fan, it doesn't matter what anybody says. You're going to go out and buy it and love it anyway because you're, you know, a fucking mindless zombie to whatever Bungie puts out. Or, like, a 360 fanboy, which, you know, that's fine. That's your thing. That's cool. You know, enjoy your Red Rings of Death and, you know, your completely derivative games for, you know, here for the rest of the time. But for me, like, I'm done. Like, you know, Bungie can go fuck themselves because I'm not picking up anything else that they put out. Like, I'm
ever, even if it's not in the Halo universe.
The only Halo game that actually made that actually had any impression on me was
Wars.
Halo Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I just at this point in time, I honestly don't know if Bungie can get away from making this style of game where, you know. I think they're comfortable with making this style of game. They know it sells well, and I don't think they have any desire to get away from it.
Right.
You know, I think even if it's not in the Halo universe, it's probably still going to have the same floating mechanics, the same slow gameplay. It's it might as well be called, you know, not really Halo, but Halo.
Mm-hmm. To that point, say we're not talking about the mindless zombies you were referring to, but maybe a more critical fan of Halo. Do you think they will still enjoy this game as much as say Halo 3 or Halo 2, or do you feel that it you know, with things like the health system and the way the story is structured, do you think it is too much of a departure?
No, because it's not really a departure. It's not. I mean, like I said, there's no indication that you are not playing, you know, the future Master Chief. I mean, there's mm-hmm. no indication. There's no difference. There's no, you know, for me at least, I mean, granted, I mean, there might be somebody out there that is super critical of Halo, and maybe they're not going to notice that the troopers move slightly faster or something like that. I played through a bit of Halo 3, I played through a bit of Halo 2. I mean, and when I say played through a bit of Halo 3, I played through probably about three quarters of the game before I just kind of tired of it. It doesn't feel in any way, shape, or form different than previous games in the series. There's not really a story to speak of outside of, you know, you're trying to regroup with the rest of your units. And so, you'll jump from member to member to see where they ended up during the drop, and you'll play through an area, and you'll find clues as to what happened to your other teammates. And then once you find a clue, you'll play through that teammate's perspective up to that point. Mm-hmm. So, like, you start off as the rookie, and you work your way through these office buildings and through these plazas in this downtown center, and then you find the helmet of one of your other teammates, and then as soon as you pick that up, it shifts perspective, and now you're playing through what they went through after the drop.
Right.
And it's another one of those games too where they you know, with Batman, when they had detective mode, where it put that filter to the environment, so you could see things.
Right.
It's the same thing with Halo 3 ODST. There's a filter that you end up using for a good portion of the game. But anytime that there's a low light area, you put this filter on, and it targets. It highlights enemies as red, and others as, you know, friendly units as like blue or yellow or green or whatever. And so you play through as that perspective. So a lot of the time, you're not really seeing how bad the textures are, which I guess is good. I mean, how bad the graphics are. But it's just, like, I'm sorry. Like, send me hate mail. I don't care. You know, but, like, on a, like, there's not really any, like, if you're not a fan of the Halo 3, of the Halo universe, like, nothing about this game is going to change your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not anything that's like, oh, that was a really, you know, and I, you know, refreshing, you know, change. And, you know, play another first person shooters that come out over the last couple of years, like, you know, Call of Duty, you know, Modern Warfare, Killzone 2, God, what some of the other ones I played, you know, BioShock, like all those games that, you know, are all first person shooters. They just have a much more compelling group of characters and a much more compelling story than anything that's been able to come out of the Halo 3 universe. And, you know, like, to see a game like this come out now and like kind of judge it and compare it to other first person shooters I played, there's just no reason for a game to be to have this lack of story and this lack of character development and, you know, this lack of progress as far as, you know, controls and abilities. So, yeah.
Just one quick, you know, last question. Did you try the firefight mode? Because I think that's what I hear about most when people talk about ODST.
I have not tried the firefight mode. I was meaning to set up a time to play it with Rob, and we just haven't been able to get our schedules to mesh.
Okay.
But I actually wanted to play the game with somebody who actually, like, you know, had an interest in the Halo world, so I can kind of get his, you know, his take on it.
Right.
Or if you're a Halo fan, or have I offended you?
No, you haven't offended me. I loved Halo 2. Me and my friend would play that all the time. In fact, I think I've mentioned it before sometime in the past, but I would just go over to his house like most every night, and we would just hang out and play split screen online against people just for hours. And it was sort of our routine for a good while, a good chunk of time. We played that a lot. And then Halo 3 came out, and I played through the campaign cooperatively with like three of my friends online. So that was cool, and we beat it. But yeah, the multiplayer never really stuck with me, and I never played much of it. I don't know if it was just too similar to Halo 2. It wasn't anything new, so I just didn't need to invest that much more time in it. But I don't mind Halo games or the Halo universe. So, I mean, I don't think I'll buy ODST, but I could certainly rent it sometime, and I'd be okay to try the firefight mode.
Let me ask you a question. Have you... Because I think one of the things that people, like, when they start defending the Halo universe, is I think a lot of these people are people who have gone out and, like, read, like, some of the books, or, like, really tried to find some of the narrative or some of the storyline that's not in the game.
I was gonna say, if you're gonna ask me anything about the story, I don't even know. I don't even know if he died in the end, you know? I don't remember, and I don't even know if it was 100% clear if he did or he didn't. But
That's kind of been my interpretation, is that these people who are big Halo, you know, like, fans, and like are like, oh, the universe is so rich. I'm like, really? Like, how? Like, what did I miss? I'm like, oh, well, there's this book. And I'm like, well, okay, look, stop right there. Okay.
Right.
Like, I love to read. I love to read. Don't get me wrong. But if you're going to start off by making games, you know, start a universe by making games, and you can't tell a cohesive, you know, story in the scope of now what's going to be, what, five games? Like,
right. There's
something wrong with your storytelling. There's something wrong with your stories for these games if you can't flesh it out. If you have to put these books in to make people understand why these things are important. Like, that to me is an issue, but...
I mean, it's just poor storytelling all around. I mean, but it's not just Halo. A lot of games are guilty of this even still. I mean, think of like the Resident Evil series. I mean, those games don't make any sense. I mean, you can find all the journal entries and, you know, computer files and things like that and piece things together. But, I mean, who plays a game and wants to sit there and read text for, you know, 20 minutes at a time? Or even things like Mass Effect, which I, you know, completed not too long ago. I mean, it was the same kind of thing. You'd get all these little codex, you know, entries about the different species and planets and all the different conflict. And, you know, I mean, I didn't want to sit there and read through all that. You know, I mean, but Mass Effect succeeded, I think, in telling its core story. I mean, I could follow it and I knew what was going on, much more so than in any Halo game. But
yeah, and the other thing too with Mass Effect is that I agree, and Mass Effect is actually one of the games where I did read a book before I played the game, because that the book came out prior to it,
right?
But the thing about Mass Effect is that at least the characters they have in that game are interesting, you know, like Rex and I can't remember all their names, but like I do remember the characters, and I do remember the dialogue, and I do remember like the you know, their personality, whereas like with the Halo games, I don't remember anybody's personality. You know, like maybe probably the only memorable character from the Halo is Cortana, because she's the hot, you know, virtual chick.
Right.
You know,
well, I think Cortana and then his, I don't know what his exact, you know, status was, but the one guy in the military, you know, it's like Black Sergeant or whatever, because he just always reminded me of, like Danny Glover from like Predator or something like that.
Right. Yeah, Sergeant Johnson or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the only reason I remember that is because the stupid GameStop commercial is like, you know, where you can play as Sergeant Johnson in firefight mode.
Yeah, if you pre-order the game or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's something. And even with Resident Evil, like, I'm not a big fan of Resident Evil fans either, but even in Resident Evil, at least along the way, they've had memorable characters that have personality.
Right.
And, you know, like, and I agree, like, I can't follow the storyline worth a shit.
No, not Resident at all.
Evil. Like, it's, I'm like, I'm killing zombies in Africa, I'm killing zombies in, you know, some raccoon city, like, I don't know what the story is, I don't know what the Umbrella Corporation is. But at least those characters are memorable, and like I think those characters are well written, even if the story's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Push that, your money. War machine is in full effect, and the press makes Goebbels look like an infant, and the New York Times, it toes the line, and the Post boasts of our righteousness, and this is right, and this is wrong, good, bad, black, white, and which side are you on, and poems are the answers, courts want evidence, but Tony Blair's seen it, he just can't release it, but trust us people that the evil in need of a good spanking and a World Bank readjustment, if enough ain't snuffed out by bombs and guns.
I've played through the Brutal Legend demo now like about 12 times maybe.
Oh, I haven't even played through that. I gotta download that. How is it?
So good.
Really?
So good. It's Raymond's not here, but he and I, when we were first talking about Brutal Legend, the concern that we had was that Jack Black has the potential to be incredibly funny or incredibly not funny, depending on how much like leeway he's given to just kind of, you know, go off and do his own thing. When he has like a good script and when he, you know, and when he improvises a little, he's fantastic. But when he's left to his own devices, like sometimes he can kind of go in places which aren't really that funny. And so when I first heard about him being attached to this project, I was a little worried that, you know, he was just kind of do his own thing and then maybe he would take it too far.
Right.
And it would just kind of get to the point where I was like, okay, this isn't all that funny anymore. But with Tim Schafer, you know, writing the story and him, he does just a little bit of, I think he does a little bit of improvisation here and there, you know, and the character is absolutely fantastic.
Really?
And the way that the game handles things is funny too, because in the demo, when you download it, at several points in the game, like, it'll pause the action, like right before he says the F word,
mm-hmm.
It stops the action. It's like, you know, from time to time, Brutal Legend will be using adult language only when absolutely necessary. But it's like, in this, the way it's written, you have to read it because I'm totally messing it up, but it's written in a way that's like, even though it's telling you like, okay, we use foul language, it's like in such a funny kind of imaginative way, like you get a chuckle just by like saying, yeah, I want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the same thing too, like right before like some really violent graphic shows up on the screen, it pauses the action again. It's like, you know, from time to time, we will use like beheading, disemboweling, like that, but only when it looks really cool. You know, so, and when I first played through the demo, I thought maybe the controls were a little bit, they felt a little stiff to me at times, because like the first area of the game, you're kind of in like a, you know, God of War action sequence where you're, you know, tackling multiple foes, but once I kind of got a feel for like locking on and actually moving him around, it became a lot more enjoyable. Like the first time I played it, I was like, ah, this feels kind of stiff. You know, I don't really feel like I'm had as much control as I wanted. But you know, like after like the second playthrough, I was like, okay, no, this I've wrapped my hand around the controls. Like I understand now what's going on, and
mm-hmm.
It just feels good. But like it's funny. It looks great. It's going to be like a fantastic game, and I'm just sorry it comes out on the same day that an Uncharted 2, because I'm probably only going to get one, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be Uncharted 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
They came out on the same date, but
what day is that?
October 13th.
I cannot believe Uncharted 2 is not out yet. The reviews have been up for like a month now.
Yeah, I've been avoiding reviews. So's Raymond, because he and I have been really looking forward to the game. So right. I have no idea what the reviews are like. I can't imagine that they're positive.
I was gonna say, spoiler warning, they're positive. they like the game.
Yeah. No, I'm really looking forward to it. And then like I said, I played the demo for Need for Speed Shift, which is a huge departure, I think, from previous Need for Speeds,
mm-hmm.
because it's kind of like their take on like a Forza or Gran Turismo, where it's actual like real racing. Although it's a slightly arcade take on real racing, I think, because it's not like Gran Turismo, where you know if you were like the physics of the car are like so demanding that like you can't, you know, like when you're playing Gran Turismo, like you really have to like pay attention to your braking and pay attention to your turning, and you know when you accelerate so you don't lose control.
Right.
It feels a little bit more forgiving in that department for Shift, but the game looks fantastic, and the cockpit view, which is incredible, the way it simulates G forces whenever you make a turn improperly or crash or get bumped, like mm-hmm. it's a really cool experience, and I can't wait to try and pick that game up too. But all this is probably going to have to wait, because I'm moving to Vegas in November.
Oh wow! You actually finalized it. So you you're going November. So I'm guessing that's gonna eat up a lot of your money then.
Yeah, it's gonna eat up a lot of money, and it's kind of a scary transition, because just getting everything organized and making that huge move. But looking forward to it. So we'll see what games I actually get to play between now and like probably like February of next year.
Right.
I'll probably still be talking about probably the only game I'll be able to play like for any length of time is World of Warcraft. That's just because I've got months paid off on that game.
Right. No, I'm the same way. I mean, I just moved myself, and I'm broke right now. I haven't been able to buy a new game. I mean, like I said, I bought Persona 4, but I mean that was just $30, so that was pretty easy. But
right.
I haven't been able to actually like buy a full priced game for a little while now. So I don't know what I'm gonna do when all these great games start dropping. I guess just trying to rent. I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's that. You know, the games I'm looking forward to this fall are, you know, Brutal Legend,
right.
Uncharted 2, Modern Warfare 2. God, what else? There's some other stuff in November, too. I can't remember what it was.
It was a new Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely want to get that one. Can't really afford it, but want it.
Right. No, I'm excited for that one. I was just playing Super Mario World with my girlfriend like last week. We pulled out the SNES and we were playing that. And, I mean, it just has me so excited to, and that you could play cooperatively and everything. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'd like to get my hands on a PSP Go. Not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah, those are expensive.
Yeah, which I've been reading stuff about that, and it's kind of funny to see how people are talking about, you know, the price issue and stuff like that. And
there's a lot of hate for it already.
Yeah, and again, like I think the argument's been made before, but I think people are kind of dismissing it because they look at the PSP as an opponent to the DS and not as an opponent to the iPod Touch,
yeah, right.
Which is really what Sony is looking to compete with,
right?
But people are just like, well, it's, you know, it's more expensive than, I'm like, yeah, but it's not really competing against the DS. Like, Sony is actually being very smart in this. Like this, in this, they're not trying to go head to head with the DS because they're not going to win,
right? I guess the problem is branding. I mean, you hear Sony PSP, and I mean, you're going to assume it's a gaming platform first, and then, you know, everything else that it can do is sort of just auxiliary, sort of, you know, just little add-ons. It's not part of what it's meant to do. It's not its core function, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, I think if they even if they wouldn't have called it a PSP, I mean, if they had coined some new term, you know, in order to focus on its multimedia features just as much as its gaming abilities, I think that would have been far better. I mean, when you the iPod, you know, is a music player, but there are advertisements, you know, focusing solely on its gaming prowess. But I don't think you're going to see the PSP Go have any advertisements like that. So I think it's just poor communication to the consumer about what exactly it is and what its role is. I guess in your life, should you purchase it,
right?
But no, I agree. I mean, anyone who's saying it can't compete with the DS is right because it's not supposed to.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny, like, you know, I guess, you know, the same argument can be made against me is that, you know, my hate towards, you know, Bungie, it's like, I'm not the market that Bungie's going after. You know, obviously they understand that the people like their games and, you know, they keep going after them, but, you know, I say what you want, I'm just going to hate on them because, well, somebody has to. Somebody has to hate on Bungie.
And Jason Smith will step up and be that man.
Hell yes.
The hero that we all need.
Yeah, but that you guys never knew you needed.
Dictating your holy eyes, I can't avoid. Everybody's back.